Good morning, everybody. That's it. You can hear me now. Oh, amazing song. Absolutely fabulous. One day we will stand with him, with Jesus. So, oh, goodness me. Yes, right. So I need to get this out of the way immediately. I need to make an announcement. Are you ready for it? 8 weeks till... Thank you. And can you please put your hand up if you have already got a little lit Christmas tree outside your house? I have beaten Steve and Amanda. I'm just putting it out there. I have beaten Daryl and Claire. I have beaten Emily and all other people this year. I have won. There we go. Pardon? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's established. Anyway, that was just the announcement. I was getting that done. So, we are carrying on in the series of Just Jesus. Full stop. Just Jesus. We've had the Redeemer, Just Jesus our Redeemer. We've also had Jesus the Bread of Life last week, and now it's Jesus my Advocate, my Paracletos. So in keeping, keep talking about revival and you're likely to end up with disappointed and disillusioned people. Keep talking about Jesus and you are likely to end up with revival. Our greatest need in the church is more knowledge and experience of Jesus, not more hype or a better show, just Jesus. Amen. Let's have the next slide, please. So we're going to focus on our advocate. And we're going to focus on that word parakletos. We're going to focus on our advocate, the high priest, our advocate, our defense lawyer, and our advocate that comes as the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Three areas we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's start with the key scripture. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Let's have an amen to that. Thank you. God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Everything is possible with God. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, one who stands in our defense with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only of ours, but also of the sins of the whole world. I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, help us to get to grips with this morning. Help us to carry away in our hearts something that you are speaking to us personally as we leave this building. Amen. In September, Andy and I went to Germany for a few weeks. And the reason we went there was we were travelling down to the south of Germany to go to see the Passion play at Oberammergau. And it's performed once every 10 years, but COVID got in the way, so it was 8 years ago. And they have performed this play, with the exception of about a couple of times when they haven't, World War I was one of them, since 1634. And they made a pledge to the Lord that if that village in the south of Germany, in Bavaria, escaped the bubonic plague, even though the plague was in the village but nobody died, they said, if nobody dies, we will give you the glory, Lord Jesus, and we will put on and perform a passion play. And so that is what they have done since the 1634. And we went this year, And it's the story of Jesus and his crucifixion. And it starts when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey being hailed King of the Jews. Hosanna, Hosanna. And it starts at that point and it goes through to the crucifixion. It's in two halves and the second half is leading into the crucifixion. I have never sat in a massive theatre before where it was so harrowing. Yes, it was acted. Yes, it was acted, but it was utterly harrowing. And the scene of the crucifixion, as they raised the crosses up, was too much to bear. And I cried and cried and cried, and all I could say was, thank you, Jesus, that on you was laid all my sin. That's all I kept saying all the way through in my soul. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. There were several people crying, of course there were, and it was an amazing dramatic effect. But for us who believe, on him was laid the transgression of my sin, my iniquity, my sin was laid on him. And it was quite harrowing. So that's partly why I've chosen Jesus, my advocate. Okay, let's have screen three, please. So Jesus, our advocate, the first part is the high priest. Comes from the Greek word parakletos, from close beside, we know this, making the right judgment call. It is, in fact, a legal term. It also covers Jesus, an advocate, advisor, helper, intercessor, consoler, comforter, and helper, our paraclete. Someone who comes close alongside and makes the right judgment call. Aren't you glad you have got somebody in your life making the right judgment call? Aren't you glad that it isn't down to you? That your Jesus makes the right judgment call in your life through the Holy Spirit is absolutely, massively important. And it's a legal term. It would have been used in the courts in the time of Jesus. So it is a legal term, an advocate, someone who stands in your defense. So we see in Romans 4, let me just read a little bit. If you want to go deeply into this, just read, Hebrews. Just read Hebrews. Slowly read it through and you'll get a full picture of what Jesus has done for you. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy is just not getting what you and I deserve, and grace is getting something that we don't deserve, but we get it through Jesus. He was totally pure, without sin. He was spotless, righteous, totally obedient to his heavenly Father. This is our Jesus. Fulfilling the law without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. That's in Hebrews. He is fully able and pleads a covering of his blood for my cleansing, demonstrating that I am his. He is my advocate, standing in my defense, because I am his through the precious blood of Jesus. Providing my redemption, we heard that a couple of weeks ago when Daryl was speaking, by paying the ultimate price, freeing me from slavery to sin. He gives me an ongoing forgiveness when I confess my sin. He is always interceding, always at my side. My defender, my comforter, my protection, my hope of eternal life, my Jesus. Here's the question. Is he yours? Is he your Jesus today? And if he is your Jesus today, do you know why he is your Jesus? Just carry that thought in your mind. The high priest, so we're going back to the Old Testament. We're going back to the Old Testament now, just to get that joining up picture between the Old Testament, you can read it in Exodus, and Hebrews. Just joining up the two things. So the high priest was in charge of making once a year special sacrifice at Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. To a Jew, the high priest was essentially an ultimate lawyer, a spiritual lawyer before God the Father, called to appear in the Holy of Holies once a year, year after year. The Old Testament required the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. So he would appear, the high priest, and he would sacrifice a bull for his own sins, the sins of his family, and the sins of the Israelite people. Only he could go into the Holy of Holies with the blood that he had got from the sacrificed bull. That blood was then daubed, sprinkled on the mercy seat, a covering seat over the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim and seraphim at each side. But the blood had to be shed and sprinkled to appease an angry Almighty God. Had to be. Had his anger, his wrath at us for sinning and for the sins of the Israelites, had to be appeased. Had to be appeased. So Jesus, for us, does that. We don't any longer sacrifice bulls, sheep, goats, whatever. We don't do that anymore. Nor does Jesus have to go in every year to Almighty God, the Holy of Holies, and do the same thing, die over and over again. No, he does not need to do that. We'll read that in a minute. Okay, so something had to be done about sin. Almighty God is utterly offended by sin. His wrath burns, and we are subject to that wrath unless a sacrifice is made on our behalf. Blood has to be shed. For this, we have Jesus. Just Jesus. Full stop. Nothing else is needed. No one else is needed. Just Jesus is needed. So slide 5, please. So this atoning sacrifice, this is what this was called, this shedding of blood and this sprinkling of blood was called an atoning sacrifice. In the Greek, it's hilasmos, a propitiation. I got that out, that was good, I got my teeth in today. Propitiation. Oh, gosh, all those elocution lessons, Andy, have paid off. Anyway, here we go. No, I didn't have elocution lessons, but we did have deportment when I was at school. Sorry, I've gone off on one, haven't I? You'd have to stack books on your head and walk like this. There was even a prize given for deportment. Goodness me. I think we should bring that back into schools. Anyway, here we go. Hilasmus, a propitiation, a substitution of an atoning sacrifice. And actually, it really means a covering. So the blood was shed and sprinkled and covered the Ark of the Covenant. Blood was shed for us through Jesus as our covering. As our covering. And it says in Isaiah, even I am he who blots out your transgression, blots it out, for my sake, and remembers your sins no more. It is the ultimate price that was paid. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Let's have a look at Hebrews 7. I could have chosen so many passages in Hebrews, but please go away and read Hebrews, and you'll just see the whole picture there. Now, there have been many of the priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede, plead, make supplication for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set aside from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day or year after year for Yom Kippur. First for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So also, I'd like to just read, now he appeared for us in God's presence, so Christ has sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Thank you, Jesus. Now look, I just want you to take you, yeah, got plenty of time, just want to take you to a human court of law. Today's court of law, okay? And you got in a bit of trouble. You got into a bit of bother with the law, and you're up in front of the judge. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. It's best to keep that to yourself. Here we go. If you're on trial, your defense lawyer would be determined to fight your case. Your defense lawyer, your advocate, would be determined to fight your case and win so that you're found not guilty by the jury. Perhaps you hope the prosecution lawyer, that person that comes against you, wouldn't dig too deeply into your past and begin to build a case against you. If you were found guilty, that would lead to the judge handing a sentence down to you. Maybe even you end up in prison. Now, you might be guilty, but get away with it. Stealing the little sweets from the shop. Get away with it. Might bend the truth. Who's bent the truth in this room? I've bent the truth. I know I have. But guilt is guilt, sin is sin, and with God, nothing is hidden from his sight. We are guilty of sin. We cannot plead our innocence because we are not innocent. Adam's original sin has tainted us. We are guilty. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. It's an old song, it's great. No tongue can bid me thence depart. For this I have Jesus, that my sins are covered by his blood. He is my advocate. He is my defense. My relationship with Almighty God has been restored through the blood shed. My advocate, Jesus, has done this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I am justified, made righteous because of his blood that atoned for my sin. I stand in that place of grace, justified, just as if it hadn't happened. Justified, covered, protected by the blood of Jesus. Please keep hold of that as we move on. Can we have slide 7? So we've had our advocate, the high priest, bringing us redemption, covering our sins, so that we become a child of God. Have a look at that picture. We now have our advocate, our defense lawyer. It's the same kind of, just a slightly different face. It's like looking at a diamond, and you look at the diamond through different faces, and you get slightly different colors. And this is what we're doing this morning. We're looking at this parakletos. So yes, the high priest, yes, standing in our defense, but there's something deeper about this. The adversary, the devil, is coming against you. And that is what antidikos means. We'll read that in 1 Peter in a minute. Anti means it's against you. You're anti-something. I don't like that. I don't like that. Somebody coming against you, or they're anti me. They don't agree with me. Anti and dikos is meaning my rights. So if you put the two together, the adversary, the devil, is coming against your rights as a child of God. coming against your rights as a child of God. Let's have the next screen. I want to unpack this a bit further. Be alert and of sober mind. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. That word devour means to swallow up, to drown. To swallow up and drown. Last night we were watching BBC. What was that program about wildlife and what's it called? Frozen Planet 2. And we were watching the scene from Antarctica where the killer whales go for the seal. And they create these waves to push the seal over off the ice pack into the water, and then they trouble the seal so much that they drive the seal downwards, 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 downwards. And of course the ability of the whale to last a lot longer without coming to the surface for air is far more than the seal. And they drive the seal downwards and eventually they drown the seal. And then they've got their food. And this is what the anti-dikos does to us. Wants to drown us, wants to swallow us up. Let's just go on a little bit. It's like the old landlord comes knocking. Read Romans 6. It's like the old landlord comes knocking. And he's like this. And he wants access into your mind. He wants access. He can't have your soul because that belongs to Jesus. He's reminding you of past sins, tempting you to return to old ways. Stand firm, stand strong. Don't open the door. So what are you accusing me of? Am I no good? What are the accusations that he brings to you in your life? What are the accusations that come to your mind? Is the accusation you're a failure? Is the accusation you're not loved? Is the accusation that you're not a child of God? Stand firm, stand strong. When you belong to Christ Jesus, you are redeemed. You are his child and you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And that landlord can keep on knocking. If you do open the door, you might get messed up for a bit. It's best not to open up that door. It's best not to go down the line of thinking that he's putting in your mind. Jesus says that your adversary, the tempter, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So all he is doing is getting you to open that door so he can dish out a lie. So what do you do about that? What do you do? Well, let me make a suggestion. This came to me the other day. Quite proud of it, actually. You know that app? Andy, don't start laughing. You know that app, which is what, three words? Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Absolutely super. So if you get lost and you've got that app and you want your location, you know, the GPS coordinates have been changed into three words. Okay. Let's go with this, Rachel. Keep going on. Try and get this sorted out in your brain. So you have your three words, and if you need, you're in an emergency or you need to be located, you can send those three words to whoever needs to know where you are. Now, if you're in a really bad situation, you can ring 999 and give them those three words, and the paramedics will come, coming alongside, the paramedic will come and find you and help you. Okay, now, would you like to know where you are sitting now in three words on the app? Hey, yeah, I'm all over this. Here we go. Yeah, well, no, it doesn't, actually. It's this building is, wait for it, Harp Skips Pile. Those are the three. Now, we haven't got a harp yet, so I can't skip over it and end up in a pile. This building is Harp Skips Pile. So if we needed to let the paramedics know or anyone knows, they say, what's your location? They say Harp Skips Pile. Much better than saying a six-digit coordinate. You'd have to have an OS map with you. Who's got an OS map here today? Who's brought one to church, carried it into church? Got one at home? Yeah, always take an OS map when you're in the hills. Don't rely on your phone, just a little health and safety notice. Anyway, harp, skits, path, three words for you're located. Now, Jesus was way ahead of the game on this. Way ahead of the game. Absolutely. He knew the three words that indicated his location in the spiritual realm. When the tempter came to tempt him, Matthew 4, he said he knew his method of combat. It is written. It is written. Three words. And then he quoted scripture. He did that three times. And the tempter, his adversary, could not remain. Had to go. It is written. Then the other three words that you can carry in your heart. It is finished. It is finished at the cross. I am redeemed. Can we just go back to that picture, please? Slide 7. I am redeemed. I am a child of God. So where is your location right now? Where are you? Are you at the foot of the cross? Are you redeemed? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? What will you say to the adversary when he comes knocking? Why not do what Jesus did and quote scripture? Slide 9, please. As far as the east is from the west, as far as he removed my transgressions, make it personal, from us. In Christ I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. I love that. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, join in. You are free indeed. Now let's just say that again. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So you have been raised with Christ, you are hidden in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3 verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And you're seated with him, by the way. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, your complete life, your Zoe complete life, healing, physical life, emotional life, well-being, spiritual life, when your complete life, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. We're coming towards the end. I am a redeemed child of God, brought out of the slave market by Jesus. His blood purchased me. I have repented and turned from my sin and accepted Jesus into my life. And in the middle of Romans 6, it says, sin has been rendered powerless. Yeah, you do sin, but you know what to do with it. You go to the foot of the cross and confess your sins, so that when the landlord comes knocking, he has got nothing that he can lay on you at all. My adversary has no power over me. I am Jesus' child of God. Remember, Jesus said of the devil in John 14, the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. That's Jesus' word, and I am hidden in him. My adversary has no hold on me. I am hidden in Jesus. So let's go to slide 10. The last bit, you've had the advocate, your high priest, slightly different, your advocate, your defense lawyer, when your adversary comes knocking. And now we're going to turn to the advocate. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit to comfort us every single day. All this I have spoken while with you. This is Jesus speaking. But the advocate, Parakletos, the coming alongside friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Oh boy, do we need that? Do we need to be reminded of what Jesus has said to us in his word? My, do we need to know that? Do we need to know that? So we can say to the adversary, it is written. And we've got it. Store it in your heart. It is written. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. That's what your adversary wants. Your adversary wants to give what the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So the Holy Spirit, my advocate, my paracletos, my coming alongside friend, making the right judgment call for me, pointing us back to Jesus in every struggle and every fear and every single thing we live through. The paracletos, the Holy Spirit, points us back to Jesus. Have we got that quote? Yes, we have. Watchman Nee. The Holy Spirit is both a builder and a dweller. He cannot dwell where he has not built. He builds to dwell and dwells only in what he has built. Being with Jesus, you will build that life, that reservoir, where the Holy Spirit can come and land and be with you each day. Get rid of the rocks. If you need to confess sin, get rid of that. Keep a clean, pure heart before the Lord, and the Holy, Holy Spirit will come and land in your life every single day. Know who you are, know your location, and know those three words. It is written, it is finished. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because his Spirit lives in you. You will get life every single day when you get close to Jesus. Turn every day over to him. Your come alongside friend will make the right judgment call for you in your daily life. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. At one with him, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God, with Christ my Saviour and my God. There's a little bit, this is a hymn by Charity Les Bancroft, a lovely, lovely hymn. The second verse at the end says, because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied. He is appeased by the blood of Jesus. To look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. So we have Jesus, our advocate, who is our high priest, our defense lawyer, and by the Holy Spirit, he is our indwelling friend and advocate. The great chasm between me and God has been bridged through the precious blood of Jesus. Just Jesus. No one else could do this for me. He was and is able to do this for me. My relationship with Almighty God has been restored. I can approach the throne of God unhindered through his precious blood, his life for my freedom. That's what you call grace. That's what grace is. If the musicians could come back, please. If I've said anything this morning, or there's anything at any point this morning, not just with me speaking, but before, that you want to talk to somebody about at the end of the service, then please do come up. There's a ministry team available. And if you really want to unpack, if you don't know Jesus, and you really want to unpack this even further, we will do that with you, and we will talk and pray with you. Sometimes you're on a journey, and you haven't quite arrived there. And if we can help you on that journey a little bit closer to Jesus, then please come. If something I have said, you think, I just got to settle this, I'm not sure about this, then just come up at the end and we will talk and pray with you. For this we have Jesus, just Jesus. Okay, let's stand, please. Slide 11, please. Let's stand. I love public declaration of who we are. I love that. And the reason I love it is because it shows our location in the spiritual realm. It shows where we are and who we belong to. I love public declaration of Scripture. And believe you me, the spiritual realm will be listening. So, Father, as we declare this Scripture now, Father, seal it in our hearts. And as we go from this place, Holy Spirit, come amongst us wherever we go. Be with us. Speak to us. Comfort us and guide us. Be our Parakletos this day. Amen. So let's read this together. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you.